Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did you know I've had my podcast for 15 years? Do you know that it is the most downloaded sports podcast of all time? Did you know I have guests from the sports world, from the culture world, people who work for The Ringer, people outside The Ringer, celebrities, experts, you name it. It's on my podcast 3 times a week, late Sunday night, late Tuesday night, late Thursday night, the Bill Simmons podcast. Check it out on Spotify. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Writer's House on Ringer SC. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to talk about the Premier League's opening weekend, and joining me is my dear friend, Moussa Kwanga. How are you doing, Moose?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Really, really good. Can I just say, Moose, with the Premier League, with everything that's happened and the amount of football that's kind of not stopped for me going through the summer and everything, obviously the women, and I think the women have energized me because, like, I couldn't wait for the Premier League to start. It's not disappointed on the first week. It's amazing.
It was straight in at number one. Yeah, really impressive, actually, opening week.
It's so good. It was so good.
So should we go straight in?
Yeah, let's go straight in.
I'm quite hyped about some things. I mean, we're just going to pick out like a couple of quick things that stood out to us for the weekend. So I think that even though it's only the first weekend, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I'm actually quite excited by what I saw, not just from some of the teams with the biggest resources, but some of the teams that have just come up.
Yes.
In particular, Fulham.
Oh, fuck me. Fulham came up and said, fuck you lot, man. What happened the last time?
Do you know what I love? The disrespect. I love
so
the disrespect.
Good.
Do you know, in the so best good. Possible way. Look, because you can say there's different ways to play clubs with vastly superior financial resources, right? Mm. You can sit and try to pick them off, or you can impose yourself on the front foot. You can go at people and close them down. And I thought that what Fulham did in this game against Liverpool, the 2-2 draw, was just supreme. The energy was, we are going to win, lose, or draw against you, but we'll do it according to our plan. If you look at like even the period that led to Fulham's opening goal, that I thought was so impressive, targeting the space behind Trent Alexander-Arnold after the corner, and then like the goal they actually scored, it was incredible. You had Andrew Robertson basically had like 2 or 3 2-on-1s before the ball gets crossed in.
Yeah,
they're working him left wing, right wing. He's defending on two flanks, and then Mitrovic beats Trent at the far post with the header. And I just thought, that goal and that movement just summed up Fulham's attitude. They were all over them. Like, they just couldn't get room to play anything.
No, they couldn't. And this is why I would have preferred if Jurgen Klopp just said, you know what, that's what you're going to expect. A championship team coming up, especially with Fulham's past. You know, they come up, they spent, what, 100 million the last time or something, and it just didn't work out. And you know what I mean? They very much went down with a whimper. And the way they started that game, I thought, yeah, I expect you to start it like that for them, but can you keep that up? And for Jurgen Klopp to say the attitude of his players wasn't right, you know what I mean? I thought that was really, really disrespectful because they didn't do anything other than work Liverpool in every single aspect of that game.
Right.
Every single one. Look, I think Thiago Alcantara to come off in the end, he's never been pressed to that extent.
He got caught, didn't he?
Honestly, just continually got caught. I thought that Anthony Robinson at the back, you know, he he just gave, this is the quality that Liverpool have. I think Salah lost him twice.
Right.
And I think in both occasions, I think that they scored goals, but didn't give him a look in. I didn't know if Fulham could actually keep up that press, because I'm thinking, and Liverpool were probably thinking to themselves, yeah, we expect them to start like this, and then it will open up, and then, you know what I mean, we'll get going. Henderson was getting absolutely rattled with, you know, and rashed. Thiago was getting rashed. Fabinho looked like none of them in any particular play. Even Virgil van Dijk looked a little bit kind of like uncomfortable.
He got half a step less than he expected. Do you know what's funny about this?
Yeah, yeah.
I think because the Women's Euros is so fresh, actually, this reminded me of the Germany press when they hunt in packs. And the reason they could sustain it is that all the best pressing is actually not the first person getting the ball. It's the second or third.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Very often you saw one person arrive at the press, they're playing out, second, third person, they're feasting. And that's what I thought was so impressive about this. You know, and you mentioned as well, the game that Fulham played, there's an element of risk because, you know, the moment you miss one tackle, one touch, they're
that's
on
they're
you. And actually,
yeah.
Liverpool's first big chance came, I think, like that. They missed one tackle and Liverpool were through. And you saw immediately the danger.
Mm.
The danger of just missing that intensity, yeah.
Moose,
yeah.
This is why teams like Fulham, and if Marco Silva's going to attack it like this for the rest of the season, then I'm really hoping that Fulham can sustain it and do something, because what have you got to lose, honestly, as Fulham? Everybody expects you to go down. You're not going to win the Premier League. Mm. Are you going to finish in the top six? Okay. Can you get yourself in a situation where you go deep in the cup competitions? You know, brilliant. What have the fans got other than to see their players put in a shift like that against the top teams, and people who come to Craven Cottage are going to have to know that, yeah, Fulham, oh, it's a lovely place, nice, you know. You are in trouble when you come here. What I want to see from Fulham, Moussa, is not, oh, because it's Liverpool, first game of the season, we've come up from the Championship and we're putting on this kind of show because, yeah, we want to show them what we could play against these guys. You have to do that every week now. I know it's an old cliche, but you do... That's the standard. That should be the standard for Fulham, because it was amazing. And Klopp, instead of giving them credit and saying, he shut us down. We've done well just to get out of this game with two goals because of the quality we've got. But Fulham have to get a lot of credit. They stopped my team playing. That was
And there's a defensiveness going on there, because if you look at the way that teams have come up in the Championship in previous years, Leeds coming up losing 4-3 to Liverpool in that incredible game at Anfield. But again, disrespectful. Brentford came up against Arsenal, beat them 2-0 first.
Yeah.
There's a pattern, isn't there? It's almost like, you know what, we need to start the season the front foot. And I don't even think, actually, to the credit of these teams, I don't think it's even about, oh, this is a big team or a small team. I think it's like, we have to set the terms.
Yeah.
We have to have a plan and a way to stay up, because, you know, this is no disrespect to West Ham, we'll get to them in a moment, but West Ham took a very different approach to Man City.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham sat back and thought they went for a gap. But the thing is, sometimes you wait for a gap, the gap won't come, because you give the opposition so much confidence and time to settle.
Yeah.
They get into their rhythm and then they've got you. And I think there's a really interesting thing that Thiago did. Thiago's first long pass that he plays after being pressed for the first few minutes, he gets the ball on the turn and hits it long, and it's like way out. It bounces twice while going out.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you've kind of hit that to feel something. Like, you've hit that to like get yourself in the game.
Yeah.
And you've hit that because you've been so boxed in. You want to like hit the expansive pass. And I thought, they've rattled you so much, you're not keeping it simple. You're not just playing it through a gap, you've gone for the long thing. And I thought already, because Thiago's an extraordinary player, don't get me wrong, everyone knows that.
Yes.
But he's also like, it's very obvious that he is the creative base of that midfield. It was a bit like Pirlo was back in the day, and they knew that if you swarm that central area, we saw, you know, I always talk about Spain doing it to Pirlo in the Euro 2012 final. They know that if you swarm the central area, then you can get some joy against them.
And
so,
I'm starting to Fulham. Massive shout out to Fulham. Just quickly on their midfield as well. Because when Harvey Elliott came on, he kind of found space, a little bit of space. And that's where maybe Fulham were getting a bit tired, but he did find space.
Yes.
And they're going to have to do something about it. I think he's 33. I think Thiago's 32. Fabinho 29. They're starting to get that kind of, at that stage as midfielders, where can they deal with that kind of incessant press from a team? So it's going to be interesting to see that, because the way Harvey Elliott came on, I think that if he can carry on and Curtis Jones gets fit, and then that transition, hopefully that will happen for Liverpool, and then they'll be able to deal with that kind of press, with that kind of energy of press, and then do what they do.
That's a new problem for them, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Diaz looks good. We've seen that he looks good, and Nunez stays in the middle of the box, and I love that. So
I love what he's done. He's shown something, Nunez. What I love about his, we talk about the fixed point in the attack, but not just his presence, but his movement and his combination with his teammates. He combines really well already in a way that I'm surprised. Like, not surprised because he's not a fantastic player, but the speed of the understanding has really impressed me, I would say.
I think that Klopp's really managed it well in the way that he's obviously got him watching what's going on. Mm. I remember watching, there was a clip of him in the Community Shield where they were just, they you know, when they showed the new number nine, he's getting ready, or, you know, and here he is, while they were playing, here he is, the number nine, you know, just spent all this money on him. And you could just see him. He was just looking. He's on one of the seats, just watching. Mm. It's almost as if Klopp said, just keep your eye on the movement, what he's doing, what he's doing, what's happening to him. Because when I saw Nunez come on in the Community Shield, that guy was just, he was just attacking the box.
Yeah.
Saw what his goal was like. And it's the same as against Fulham. He came on, he got one way, done the back heel, it didn't work out. And he was attacked it again and got it. So you look at, yes, Liverpool, I think that was a blip. And if you're going to have that kind of blip at the start of the season, when your manager says it's your attitude, which I was very surprised with, that's the time to have it. Go on, Moose.
Yeah, so for those who are listening, obviously, to Stadio as well, we're going to do the European stuff, mm-hmm. Stadio on Thursday. So we're just doing a Premier League whip round.
It's flowers for everybody, I think, today.
Flowers to Fulham. Yeah, flowers to everyone. Flowers to Fulham.
Flowers to Brighton. Can we give Brighton flowers?
Oh my God, we have to.
Can I say something? I'm not going to go deep into Man United and everything like that, because that's an episode and that's a podcast on its own. But going into the game, it's funny. It's like Arsenal against Brentford last season, with everything that was happening, I went into the game feeling very apprehensive about getting something. Mm. And when this game came up, and it was Man United, Brighton at Old Trafford, when I saw that, knowing what Graham Potter's about, how his team's set up, how organised they are, and Al, let's face it, you know, Man United have still not addressed the major problem, and that is the midfield. Mm. Knowing that they will not control the game, I just felt for them. I felt that, you know, I cannot see, unless Ronaldo's playing and he does one of his super rescue acts, I could see Brighton getting something, whether it is a draw or something. But I didn't say, yeah, Man United are going to beat them in this game. And when you watch how they play, you know, I'm going to give an extra bunch of flowers to his Danny Welbeck. You know, somebody
that is continuously
like, the way his career has gone and the way people kind of make those ridiculous like little memes and ridicule him and that. His centre forward play against Man United is kind of what they probably would need now.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Kind oh, of yeah, is yeah, exactly yeah. what they'd probably need now. He led that line and caused them all sorts of problems in that game, and in the end, obviously, created a goal, first goal, and done. I was just pleased for him, because for him to go back with everything that's happened to him and the way he's going, and we're talking about somebody who's probably getting a year-on-year deal at the moment.
Yeah.
So we're
yeah.
talking about a continuous mindset of having to play well, having to achieve, having to do well. Because at any stage, Brighton could say, listen, Danny, thank you very much. So to see him playing that well in that stadium, you know,
and he was desperate to play as well.
Yeah,
apparently, he was not at his best.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really pleased for him. You know,
I'm very happy for Trossard as well, because you know Cucurella's gone now to Chelsea. Outstanding player, and Trossard's just come in and been another threat in the wide areas, and just the organisation of Brighton. And this is the thing as well. Like, you know, they win 2-1. So United lose 2-1. Brighton win 2-1. Mm. But this result doesn't surprise me, because I'm like, well, Brighton are the better team at this point. Mm-hmm. They're just better. If you look at, like, you know, they absolutely
organized,
like,
everything.
Absolutely took them to the cleaners in the last time they met at Brighton. Outstanding again today, and I think United actually didn't have the worst start. I would just say very quickly on the United tactical side, we won't get into the off the field stuff. Mm-hmm. Very interestingly, just the United tactically, you had Eriksen starting nominally as the nine, but dropping deep, and then he actually McTominay got lots of criticism for not controlling midfield, but actually, he was pushed as high as a centre forward a lot of the time. Mm. There's almost something happening where Ten Hag is like, actually, McTominay is most valuable when he's running free and attacking centre-backs. And he did that. And you can kind of see what Ten Hag's plan is. The tragedy is, a bit like, actually, ironically, Van Gaal before him, he may not have got the pieces to execute his vision.
Exactly, yeah.
But, back to Brighton, because it's all about them. Really excited for this win for them, because they've got so much more to come. And actually, I wonder if this is a season where we're going to start seeing, like, more goals from them. Because we joked before about how they didn't quite score enough.
They've had. No, but it's not even the more goals from them. It's the amount of chances they missed. Yeah. Danny Welbeck was able to convert a lot of attack. We're talking about somebody who could easily get 12, between 12 and 15 goals. No problem with the chances that they create.
Weirdly enough, this team reminds me of Leipzig. Yeah. You know, in RB Leipzig, when they had Angelino scoring those goals from the wide areas, I wonder if Trossard becomes a goal threat like that, given the fluidity of their play and the options they've got under attack. I'm kind of excited to see where else they'll find goals, actually, this season.
When you see Bissouma moving on, because I was surprised that he didn't have more people in for him, to be honest, Bissouma, for whatever reason. But maybe, I think Tottenham made an unbelievable signing there. But Caicedo, and the way he played, I watched him against Arsenal last season, and literally ran the show for Brighton against us. Ran the show against us. And you could see why, yeah, we can let Bissouma go because he's
isn't
there.
Isn't their recruitment amazing, Brighton? Their recruitment's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Because, and it, you know, you have to look at it. And just quickly before I move on from the Brighton United game is, how do those players get missed by United? What is going on with United to miss players of that kind of caliber who are coming? When's the last time United, even like you go back to their academy, let's go to their when's the last time United have actually produced anything out of their academy? When's the last time they've bought a player that's gone on to go on for sell for loads and loads of money? What's going on? When you look at Foden at City Academy, Saka at Arsenal Academy, James and Mount, and all the other players, Tammy and everybody has gone on to do unbelievable things from Chelsea. Spurs, Harry Kane, you know what I mean? And then Trent, Liverpool, you know. You think, what's happened to Man United?
It's vanity. The thing is, it's like, it's vanity. It's the, when the club's priority by a significant distance is returning dividends to shareholders and the owners, that's what you get. That's Manchester United's priority is returning shareholder value. That's it. So anything is secondary, tertiary. Like, so youth development, they don't care. Like, this is, you know, they're
so
not buying
sad news.
Example, like it's like when these, like, you know, these these estates that's falling to pieces, hasn't a lick of paint in ages, and they're holding music festivals there, and then they have to cancel the festival one day because the stage collapses because they spent all this money on big act, they spent no money on infrastructure, scaffolding. You know, everyone has a miserable, you know, it's Manchester United right now. You know that documentary, The Fire Festival? We're the Fire Festival. That's what we are. With this expensive attraction, people turn up. There's no logistics of how we arrive and how we leave. And it's crumbling behind the scenes. And on the surface, it's great. We're basically the Fire Festival FC. That's why we're not producing anything.
It's really sad because I said it on the Premier League. It's just like when Liverpool were out of it and they were in the wilderness. I think that's where Man United are now. And I think it's going to take many, many more years for Man United to come out of the wilderness. It's not the same without them.
And do you know why I mentioned the coaching? Because I wanted to just put a marker down, because look, Ten Hag has made mistakes, maybe with recruitment and all the rest of it. But what I will say is he is trying to coach those players. Mm-hmm. And there was a point you saw, he said he couldn't understand the confidence drop, because if you saw how they played with confidence on tour, they're back at Old Trafford and they play without confidence. It's very, very rarely you can spot a lack of confidence in footballers. But you saw it from the opening moment. I think Dalot tries to play this pass and like slices it. It's a bad, under no pressure really. And it's the pressure of being at Old Trafford in the shadow of all those legends who are on TV all the time talking about United returning its greatness. God, yeah. And you knowing, if you look at United's squad, like the first team, you look at it and think actually half of that is actually, those are squad players. And those people are going into work every single day, every single week, knowing that this is a team that very recently was dominant in English football. And they know full well, because footballers aren't stupid, they know full well that that first 11 is not winning a league title. They also know full well that that club is maybe not winning a league title for another 5 to 10 years. Mm. Very, very plausibly. Not because they're terrible, because what is above them is just light years ahead in terms of organization. So that pressure, Ian, and Ten Hag talks about it in his interview, and he's not trying to pass the buck. I actually think he's being honest. He was like, the confidence is a problem. Yeah, because they know it's a long way back to the top, Ian. And that sits on you every single week. And it's going to keep sitting on them until they change things at a structural level. But most importantly, for this week, it's props to Brighton, because they were outstanding. They were outstanding.
And, you know, people are constantly talking about, I remember when Graham Potter signed that 6-year deal after not too long of being there, people were saying, what are they doing? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, you start to see him go to work, And then you realize that there's somebody at Brighton, if it's Tony Flood, whoever it is, that realize, listen, man, we've got the real deal here.
Yes.
He's a real deal. I can't remember watching Brighton since Graham Potter's taken over, all the time he's been there, watch Brighton and say, whoa, no, Brighton, they don't look right today. They don't look right. It's not happening. They are so well-drilled and well-coached that they're going to do that to a lot more teams. And the only problem that holds Brighton back in respect of causing teams even more problems is the chances that they're missing. Mm-hmm. I always said if they had a Danny Ings,
yes,
if they had that kind of striker, Danny Ings, someone goes to Brighton, that kind of player goes to Brighton, they get 20 goals. They get 20 goals, no question.
The
way that team's coached. So flowers to Brighton, flowers to Graham Potter. They deserve them. They have to get them.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Can I say Brentford? I'm looking to see what was going to happen with Brentford simply because there's something about me that I really wanted Christian Eriksen to kind of stay there. For some reason, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know why I wanted that to happen, simply because the change at Brentford when he came there was just so evident and obvious to see what he'd done for them in the way he was able to control games, bring them another 10, 15 yards up the pitch in the way where he picked the ball up and how he released players. And, you know, to watch them, when they went 2-0 down, I said, oh my gosh. I was saying, I wonder what's going to happen with Ivan Toney this season. Is he going to be able to score the goals? Is he going to be able to stay up top and lead the line instead of sometimes I'm seeing him at left back and at right back in midfield and that. Stay up front and get those goals. And seeing him come back again, like we saw last season, how resolute they are, I'm really pleased for them. They've got to get flowers as well.
And Toney with a classic centre forward finish as well, right?
But
rolling his man, yes, putting in the corner. Loved it.
Yeah, but you know what? When you watch that goal and you watch the positioning of the defender made me feel like the defender was afraid of him. He was afraid of him. He didn't know what to do because, like, the ball came into Ivan Toney and there was no defender to his right and he kicked in with his left foot. But it felt to me like, why is the defender on that side?
Not pinning him.
Because he's touched it with his right foot and finished with his left foot in the middle of the goal where he was. And I'm thinking, why is the defender not blocking that side? He's afraid.
Didn't look like he was not asserting himself. Yeah, it was really interesting. And actually, I think what I want to sort of talk about as well, we're going to get into some other flowers. I mean, Brentford definitely flowers, but I want to like jump to a team that really has got its central defence sorted out. And that to me is Spurs.
Wow.
You know, what Conte has built there. So like this centre-back trio of Dier, Romero and Davies, it has a bit of everything. Yeah. It has power. They're not slouches. They can, you know, they can step on the gas a little bit.
Yeah.
Passing is really something. There's vision. And there, you know what it is? There's control. There's like, when you see them building out from the back, Spurs, and this is a great win against Southampton, a 4-1 win. When you see them building out from the back, what I love about it is it's the organization. Like, everyone knows exactly what they are doing.
Yeah.
Throughout that Spurs team, you've got that system, the 3-4-3. You look at the bench, there's so much depth. And they were like, how do I say this? 4 different goal scorers.
Mm.
Harry Kane wasn't one of them, and he didn't need to score.
And
you
Sonny
weren't thinking.
Son wasn't one of them.
This is what is so impressive. No goals from Kane or Son, 4 goals. Kulusevski, outstanding player that I love anyway. I just think he's unbelievable. But just, and Sessegnon getting his goal, things like that. Things like the first 2 goals being scored by Sessegnon and Dier. To me, I love that for Sessegnon because obviously, Perisic
needed that move.
Well, Perisic has been bought, and everyone's just assuming Perisic will come in and be the guy. Actually, I love what Sessegnon brings. You've got 2 great options down the left now, but Perisic can also play inside left if he has to.
Yeah,
as one of the front 3, that's great. I just feel like Spurs this year have that intensity, the defensive strength from the back, the organisation, and the fact they came back from a 4-1 down. And again, to draw a parallel with the Women's Euros, like England going down to Sweden and just playing their way back into the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, you know, Spurs just knowing we're 1-0 down. Yeah, it wasn't the best goal to concede. Slightly fortunate bounce in the box. But we're just going to keep playing and just, they just applied the steamroller.
But that was, that's what I'm saying about, when I was saying to people about, you know, there's an assured silence from Spurs at the moment, which is quite frightening, simply because they don't normally work like this. They don't work. Conte is in charge, right? We could see that. Daniel Levy's given him, what, 150 million? Said, okay, please, just go and do your stuff. Because the signings, you know, Richarlison, who could play with, he could play instead of Harry Kane, instead of Son, or with Harry Kane, with Son.
Or instead of Kulusevski, if he had to. Yeah.
Then Kulusevski is playing the kind of game. He's another one. He's one of those players, and I said it on Match of the Day, that every time he gets it, he does something assertive with it. It's quality. Everything what he's doing, he's looking to hurt you, hurt the team. If you give him too much time, he'll put some crosses in and put some balls in that is going to hurt you. You know, he's at 22. He's already put himself in a situation where you're thinking, well, you can't leave him out.
You can't leave him out.
You know, you look, I was pleased for Ryan Sessegnon simply because I think he made his debut, just turned 16. He might have been 15 and a bit, 16. And we've been waiting for Ryan to do his stuff for many, many years. And when he got to Tottenham, finally, I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Let's see what he does. And it still hasn't quite taken off for him. But we saw some green shoots last season in playing there and getting the opportunity to continue to play there under Conte. And you know what Conte's like. Conte, like what he done with Victor Moses. He will have faith in you. He will give you the berth if you're ready to go. And seeing him score that goal and then coming out and saying, you know what, I need to do a lot more of that.
Love it.
He himself realizes that there's people in this team, if I'm not asserting myself and doing that, I'm going to lose my place. I think that was one of Emerson Royal's best games.
Yes.
He looks like he's livening himself up as well. Because for me, Tottenham, with their goal scoring prowess and what they can do, I still believe that there's some kind of midfield creativity is what they need, because they don't control games.
Do you know what's funny though? I must say, I love some of the early passing from Højbjerg, because we had this conversation about the creativity from Spurs.
He's got that in him.
We saw a bit more of that, actually, more than I'd seen, I would say. You know, and maybe Spurs fans that watch them more regularly will correct me, but I loved that he was so assertive with the early pass, because they're going to need a lot more of that this season to really get the next level. I think Spurs can do something really exciting. I feel like there is still, without wanting to sound unfairly judgmental, I just feel like there's like a Gundogan level player that would take them to a level that's just something else, right?
Yes.
But what they have already there in that squad is extremely good, extremely dangerous. And I think, you know, very early days, but I think they could do something really interesting this season. Maybe even really exciting. Yeah, so big.
I think that if they could get that midfielder, that creative midfielder, then someone like Harry Kane doesn't need to come as deep as he does sometimes, because he could stay away and maybe patrol a different kind of area, pop up where he's closer to the box rather than coming so deep. He's hoping that Son gets in, or Kulusevski or someone. If I'm Harry Kane, you know, and I'm seeing, especially Haaland, we're looking at Haaland, and for me,
oh my goodness,
I'm looking at 35, 40 goals this year.
We saw something from him. We saw something from Haaland. Let's get into City, shall we? Let's jump to City.
Let's jump into it, man. Go on.
Look, okay. I want to talk about one thing from City that really struck me in this first half. First of all, they had like 300. They completed 300 more passes, pretty much, than West Ham.
I think they said it was 300 and odd, and they had 80 something.
Like, it's 373 to 74, something wild like that.
It was really crazy.
Now, here's a wild thing about City that was really interesting. And, you know, City are City, so we know that they steamroller teams. The patience to wait for the gap to open, because people know the firepower they have now with Haaland, they're absolutely stocked, they're stacked. So people sit deep. So the way that City have to work the ball from left to right, and we know Grealish gets criticised for not maybe doing enough, but his job is to move the ball on. His job is not to be flash. It's 1-2 touch, spin, move. Yep. And the credit I can give to Grealish is he was always a step quicker than whoever was marking him. And you saw that in the first half. De Bruyne gets a goal disallowed for offside. But the interchange between, I think, Grealish and Gundogan is so fast that it just opens up West Ham.
Mm.
And the thing about that is it's just like they keep pulling at the thread. It's like watching a cat attack an old sweater. And eventually, like after about like 2 hours attacking, just the whole thing just disintegrates. And watching, you know, a kitten play with a sweater, eventually just like Man City unpicking West Ham to the point where by the time Haaland scores, it's almost like enough. Like we're done. We can't chase you anymore. We've been chasing you.
You know something, Moose?
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolute sense. I heard a reporter, someone at the Premier League was saying that, as a reporter was saying, that City was so dominant and they had the ball so long that fans were actually turning around speaking to each other saying, how's your summer been? Everything been good? Actually
speaking,
they were saying, how's your summer been? Yeah, but because they kind of like had to switch off from that because they could not see a way for their own team to get the ball back. Whatever their game plan was, it could not affect them.
No,
it was just like when I watching the game, right, watching City, knowing that City can, we'll keep the ball, but then you know what, we can go long as well now.
Yeah,
and even in that game, Erling Haaland made runs where City still didn't pass it to him yet. It's going to happen where one of these games this season they're going to connect with him continually. He's going to be the guy, I believe, who breaks the 5 goal in a game. Barrett, I think he's the one.
He's capable.
I think he's the one. He's either going to equal that or he's going to break it. Because when they do realize, feed this man, he's the GOAT. I know they had Sean Goater, but feed this GOAT and he will score, bro. Because like, and the way he took the ball for the penalty, he took the ball for the penalty and the way he dispatched the penalty, off of the misses last week, yeah. Came with all the noise. He's the one that he's come to this place and we've spoken about him and we've said he is the one that could fit into any team and be and feast, eat everything because of the way he can play, right? He took that penalty, no problem. Off of last week, missing two ridiculously easy chances for him. And then the one when he went through and the way himself up, he literally telling the goalkeeper, I'm going to open myself up and I'm going to turn it into the corner on your right-hand side. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, you know, it's scary about that goal in particular because everyone has talked this year about just don't give Haaland space in behind. Here's the thing. First of all, how do you deny him space in behind?
How do you stop it?
Secondly, it's West Ham. Like, if anyone's going to deny you space in behind, it's West Ham. And the man just walked through. And that's the precision passing, obviously, of De Bruyne. But the thing I want to talk about is the acceleration. Like,
God.
A lot of people like don't talk about his speed. There's a lot of talk about his, you know, his power, but he is ludicrously fast.
Yeah.
Like, he's got I know his pace is talked about. No, I'm not saying it's not talked about. I'm gonna say it is, but like it's easy to forget like that he is ludicrously quick. Like that acceleration for that goal, he just blows past them.
Mm.
You know, it's like watching a Porsche against like a lorry on the motorway. It's unreal that
when he speaks about his heading. Done a great interview with Alan Shearer. It was really nice to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I love that on the BBC.
Can we just say,
the art of goal scoring.
Yeah, I think Alan tweeted something or he said something what was 258 to go. Right? And you look at Haaland, right? At 22, if Haaland stays here for the majority of his career, he's beaten that. Shearer knows it. That's why he said 258.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
Alan will watch that. We're watching it and he was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yes. He has come back.
He knows what it looks like because actually...
He knows. He knows that that's in danger because he would always say something like, if Harry Kane goes to City, I'm in trouble. Always. Mm. And like getting Haaland at City at 22 with those guys around him. And you know, we're talking about he's gonna eat like Gundogan. Remember, Gundogan came on last season to finish it off for City. Mm. Those goals, he'll eat them now. Gundogan could just get on with doing what he does in his number eight and
creating from deep. Yeah.
So he's going to eat so much. You know, so I just hope that he's the one, like you mentioned with Jack Grealish, who it was a step ahead of everybody in that area to give. I just hope he's the one that can unlock Jack. I hope he's the one because watching Jack in the Community Shield was like watching him last season. But watching him in that game, it was different. because he's now got a foil.
Yes, he's now got a foil. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's going to stretch the play. And what he'll do is the gaps that Haaland will create, he'll take up, the space he'll take up will allow so much room for Grealish and Foden to run into. Because what we saw from West Ham actually exceptionally disciplined, stayed deep, lost 2-0, no question. Mm-hmm. Other teams will be far more open against City and they'll get punished for it.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Can you imagine, Moose, the first team with City, because like we said, West Ham and Moyes, very, very organized. He's got a whole backroom staff of managers.
Yeah.
So they're very organized. They know exactly what they're doing, West Ham. And it was a canter. They beat them. It was a canter. Can you imagine a team like, I tell you who I'm so pleased they didn't get City on the first day, because I don't want them to get City yet, is I want Forest to get themselves going, get their new signings integrated and everything, and then start to play. Because I could see something, I could see where Jesse would do well. I could see where Brennan Johnson would do well. I could see something from them. But like, if they buck up on City early doors at the moment, that's the one.
This is something to mention as well with this league as well. This is just to jump in, but something to mention of this league as well. It's very easy to draw the wrong conclusion from big defeat. It's very, very easy to draw the wrong conclusion. Like a team like Leeds, actually, shout out to Leeds. They were superb against Wolves. That was a great game.
They were.
Leeds playing with real Aronson, confidence under Marsh. Love. What a great player, Aronson. I saw him for Philadelphia. Beautiful footballer. Great for Leeds. It's really, really important that whoever gets that treatment off City, because it's coming.
It's coming.
Really important. Whoever gets that treatment just has to treat it as, look, it was one game, it was 3 points, let's bounce. But yeah. So yeah, flowers to Haaland in particular, I think.
Absolutely, flowers.
Yeah.
You know what? Just before we finish on Haaland, you know, it's the pressure that he just kind of brushed off.
Yes.
So that's why he's got to get flowers, because last week people were laughing at him. You could see
the
memes.
They cooked him,
laughing at him. So, you know, massive amount of flowers to Haaland.
Yeah.
Can I say as well, Bournemouth?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Little bit disappointed with Villa, if I'm going to be totally honest, because I know that set piece wise, you know, Villa were very much, they sort their set pieces out a bit last season, but the chaos, how chaotic it was trying to do, I don't know if they were trying to do man marking in there or they were picking up their men, but it was a good ball in and they were all over the place.
Undone, yeah.
Leon Bailey, you know what I mean, losing his man, and you know what I mean, it was so chaotic, Villa. And then even the second goal with Kiefer Moore, the ball goes across the box, all the way across the box. And I know Tyron Mings ain't playing, you know what I mean? I don't know why he's not playing at the moment. He's, for some reason, he's chosen not to play him, but I don't know if he would have picked up Kiefer Moore or not, but to have a number nine that big, what's he, 6'5", something like that, Kiefer Moore? Mm. He was literally standing on that 6-yard box. No one went with him. The guy was able to then get the ball, turn onto his left foot, still no one closing down enough, put a ball in and keep
the back of the box.
He was not challenged at all. So,
and the ball went a long way in the air.
A long way. That you think to yourself, they don't know what's happening.
No, someone should be attacking that from the left back position, from the right back position. As it comes, and someone should be attacking it and just heading that thing clear.
Moose, I'll tell you one of the signs, especially the first goal.
Yeah.
And you have to say to a certain extent the second goal. When you see a defender, no defenders actually jump. Not one jump.
Yeah.
They're not in a position to go and attack the ball. That was a worry for me, for Villa, watching Stevie's team like that. You know, against a team that's just come up.
We're not talking about... They started cold, didn't they?
They've come with energy. They said, you know what? Let's go at these. Let's go. Scott Parker himself at the start of the game, not long ago, I think he made a quote before the game or something saying, we're not as good as a team that actually came up. You know, we're so far away. We're a long way away. I don't know if he was doing it because it was a ploy to let his team, to wind his team up or what, but whatever it is, it's worked.
Yeah.
Because Villa, Villa weren't at it.
They weren't.
He'll be very disappointed, Stevie, with that. They've got to get flowers, Bournemouth.
If there is a common theme to this opening day, Ian, it's like teams that turned up organised with intensity got big rewards.
Yeah.
I mean, even you can say that for Arsenal as well. Like Arsenal obviously had a bit of a challenge against Palace, and Palace was a very tough game in the season and first game of the season. But I just feel like it's so obvious, but people need to treat the Premier League season like they treat the first game of the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the World Cup, you can't start cold because all of a sudden you get a loss or a draw, you've got to come in on the front foot because those drop points, the reason why Klopp, I think, is a bit stung is because you've dropped points against Fulham in the first game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know from playing against City that, like, you can't afford to drop more than, what, like 10?
You can't do that.
12 points. You can basically afford to drop 12 points somewhere if you want to in the league. And
because you look
like,
at City,
I know we've
done City, but can you see City? You don't even look at City and say, well, who's going to beat them? Of course, at some stage, someone will beat them. But how many times do you think City's going to lose? How many times do you think City's going to go to a place like Fulham and not nick it? Because Liverpool nearly did it. They didn't deserve to do it, but they nearly did it. City, already, because these two teams know how close it is, we're talking about 1 point on two occasions.
Yeah.
They've won the league by, you know what I mean, with an unbelievable points tally. They know that at this stage of the season is where you've got to get out of the blocks. You've got to get out on the B of the bang, not the G.
No doubt. Exactly. There it is.
You can't get out on B of the bang. Because like City got out on the B of the bang and it looked very easy. Whereas Liverpool, like I said, I'm not going with Klopp. I'm still tipping Liverpool to win the league. You know what I mean? I'm still tipping them to win the league. But like for Klopp to say that, I believe he's sending a message in the dressing room.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know?
That's interesting.
I believe he had to, though.
I think he had to. So anywhere else to go? Are our flowers, are we all bouqueted out for the week then? Or
let me see. I have to say, I felt for Palace because Palace had, you wouldn't say they played their greatest, and I wouldn't say that Arsenal created unbelievable amount of chances, same with Palace, but they created enough chances, both of them, to have scored the goals. Palace, the first chance for Otton Edward was an unbelievable chance for a centre forward, literally on the 6-yard box. And it looked like he was trying to guide it instead of heading it back where it's come from. Because that's what happens. When a ball comes in and it hasn't quite got the power, all you do to try and get the power is head it back from where it's coming from. He tried to help it on and literally just played it into Aaron Ramsdale's hands. That was an unbelievable chance. And Patrick said it at the start of the game. We need to make sure we take chances in the big moments. Same thing with Eze's chance. Wilfried Zaha, fantastic ball through to him. Missed the chance.
Yes, Arsenal
started that game unbelievably well. Really well. Just like how they've been in the preseason. I thought that, oh no, it's going to be one of those days when Gabriel Martinelli missed that chance. I think he should have took it with his right foot. And then they scored not long after that. But for me, the way they played was brilliant. But then they had a spell in it where for some reason, and I can't see Mikel saying to them to ease off, they step off. They step off the gas, and they've got to be more ruthless about finishing teams off. That's the only criticism I would have. And I've seen a lot of people, and I heard it on Ask Blog, the great Andrew Mangan, saying about Ben White. Why people are going on about Ben White, I don't know. Because Ben White had a particular job to do, and that was shutting down Zaha, which is very difficult for anybody. You know, you saw what he done to us last season, right? And I believe that he done a fantastic job with that. And again, yes, he gave the ball away a couple of times early doors, but I think that back four, William Saliba, you know, I'm sure we'll speak about him as the season goes on. He carries on like that. Magnificent. Okay, and that's it. My God, that was amazing. Moose, I've had such a great time, but we're going to have to go.
It's always a pleasure. Always a joy.
The pleasure's mine. The pleasure's mine.
Oh, my, thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. If you know what, Moose, that's the first day.
Mm.
If that's what the season is going to be like, the teams coming and saying, I'm ready to go, man. Fucking bring it. You know, that's what Fulham said to Liverpool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Fulham went to school, first day of school, and they said, you know what? That fucking guy's not bullying me this year. I'm ready. Where are you? Come on then.
Can I be honest? I think we're going to look at the Fulham-Liverpool draw. This is a hot take. As important for the season as the Leeds lost to Liverpool, the 4-3, only because it showed the joy you can get mm-hmm. if you attack a team with disrespect.
Yes.
I think that's really, really exciting. Like yes, I say, when watching Andrew Robertson covering for Trent in the right back position and then being dragged across the left, it's not the last time we're going to see that this season.
Wow.
Yeah, not the last
nice
time.
Moose. Okay, bro. Take it easy, Moose. I love you. God bless.
Love you too. See you soon.
Okay, thank you very much, Moose Okwonga. Thank you very much for listening, guys. That's the first week done. And let me say, if the season's going to be like that, where, you know, we're going to get those results and, you know, I think we've got to talk about because the Premier League's so great. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to this season. So we go again next week. We go again on Righty's House. Take it easy, guys.